God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our gospel reading, continuing Matthew chapter 18, we're dealing with the concept of forgiveness. And the title of this message, Keep On Forgiving. The end of our text does present Christians with sort of an interesting dilemma here. Jesus is saying, this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. The way that person was treated was thrown into the dungeon until his debt was repaid. So I must ask, is forgiveness a requirement for being a Christian? Now, before you answer that, think about it for a moment. Because do you always forgive? Are you always immediately, is that the first response you're always thinking of when someone does something wrong to you? You immediately forgive. Case in point, try driving down Route 59. Someone cuts you off and the first words coming out of your mouth is, I forgive you. Okay, I'll fess up. It's not the first words coming out of my mouth either. So we better be careful with these words. Jesus says, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. This really begs the question. Since we don't do this very quickly or readily, are we ourselves forgiven? Well, I'm going to answer this question talking out of both ends of my mouth, I will admit, yes and no. And first, let's start with the answer that everyone wants, is that no. Jesus must be wrong here. Okay? Because truly, we don't always want to forgive. And we're looking for some good excuse why we shouldn't forgive. Well, not that I'm going to give you the good excuse why you shouldn't forgive. But now, remember my question was, must you always forgive in order to be a Christian? And let me just clearly say, the answer has to be no, in one essence. And let me explain why. You see, when we take a look at the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, as it's depicted right next to the pulpit, we know that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins, and that is complete atonement. Those who believe and trust in his death for the forgiveness of sins has that forgiveness of sins. This is purely by God's grace. It has nothing to do with any of your actions. It is a gift of God, so that no one can boast in anything that they do. We talk about this as being justification, the process of being made a Christian by God's grace and grace alone. But, there is no but. Plain and simple, Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. That's justification. Now let me change to the yes answer to my question, because now it assumes that you've already been justified. It assumes that you're already a believer in Jesus Christ. It assumes that once you already look to Jesus dying on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, and you appreciate that forgiveness, you love that forgiveness, you cherish that forgiveness, the answer is actually now yes, because of that relationship. Because you enjoy that forgiveness of sins, you also want to share that forgiveness of sins with those around you. Our sinful nature likes to kick in here, though, and start playing games here and saying, what if I refuse to forgive somebody? What if I sort of cross my arms like this and say, no, I'm not going to forgive you? Can I still be a Christian? Well, that's the challenging part to it. And let me kind of summarize where I'm going with this text. Is in one essence, yes, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, but in another essence, no, because you're not reflecting that love. Maybe you don't have a good appreciation of the forgiveness of sins. Let me put it this way. You see, as Martin Luther explains to us in the third article of the Apostles' Creed, He says, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit is the one who calls me by the gospel. So it's the Holy Spirit who is the one who calls us. You see, before the Holy Spirit calls us, we cannot love, we cannot forgive the way that God loves and forgives. God has to change our hearts. He changes who we are. And He does this through the sacrament of holy baptism. Plain, simple water connected with God's holy word, and all of a sudden there's a change in the person. And now that person is able to love, able to forgive, only because God first loved us. He first changes us so that we now can also love one another. And not only do we love one another, not only do we be kind to one another, not only do we have lots of friends, but Jesus even goes so far in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, when He says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. This love doesn't just go to a select group of people, but to all people. And that's where the typical Christian starts having a hard time with their sinful nature. Because that sinful nature sits there and says, I don't want to forgive. That sinful nature within us sits there and says, I refuse to forgive. That sinful nature within us says, you don't know how they hurt me, Pastor. They don't care. They're always like that. They don't deserve love and forgiveness. And it's true, I don't know how someone has hurt you. I don't know whether they really even care. Or whether they're always like that. Or whether they deserve it or not. That's irrelevant. Because if you take those excuses or whatever excuse you come up with in the back of your mind not to show that love and forgiveness and turn it around from God's point of view to you, you're in big trouble. Because every time we sin, we fall short of God's glory. In one essence, we're hurting God. Do we care? Not by our action of our lives. We seem to be sinning a lot. Are we always like that? It seems like it. Do we deserve it? The answer again is no. We don't deserve God to send His only Son, Jesus the Christ, to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We are that unworthy servant who has been showered with grace and now takes that grace event and tramples it. As our text for today shows, as Jesus talks about sort of a parable about the kingdom of heaven, about this person who had a great debt, probably beyond he could repay, is like our debt of sin. We cannot repay it. We need forgiveness. Forgiveness from a Savior. And then what happens to that servant after he has forgiveness? Does he go dancing in the streets, celebrating and rejoicing because his sins are forgiven? If he did, the text omitted it, but what he does do is he finds out someone who owes him some money and shakes him down and has him thrown into jail because they can't pay. The quick parallel here is the Christian who leaves church today knowing that their sins are forgiven, and then all of a sudden finds themselves on Route 59 driving home from church, and someone cuts them off and now unmercifully does not forgive them. If you don't believe it, try driving home on Route 59. I'm not saying that Route 59 is that bad, but the illustration is there. What do we do? As we say in our liturgy, during the confession, I, a poor, miserable sinner. We take a look at the reason why we come to gather. We're not a bunch of Christians that come and gather and pat ourselves in the back and say, oh, what a good job this last week. Good job, you didn't sin that much. No, we're a bunch of Christians who gather together, who sit there and say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We realize our relationship with God. We realize our sinfulness. We realize that we have fallen short of God's glory. We realize that we haven't forgiven, even though God tells us to forgive. So now what do we do? Now let's go back to that question I was asking. Can you be a Christian without forgiving other people? I'm trying to make you look at it in a way that says, okay, in you from God above comes God's grace, comes His love, comes His mercy. And it comes filtering into you, but does any of it leak out? Does any of it go out to your fellow human beings? If it doesn't, we have to stop and ask ourselves, is it really coming in to begin with? I'm not going to say, because I cannot look into someone's heart. But if you are withholding forgiveness, if you are not sharing God's love, one has to question, are you even receiving it? Do you understand? Do you appreciate the gift that God truly has given to you? Or are you like the subject of our parable for today? Here's a stop check for you. When you leave church today, do you still have anger in your heart towards someone who has done you wrong? And what happens when we do? Is this a good thing or a bad thing? If we truly understand our own sinfulness, we would take a look at the anger that was in our heart and say, Lord, this isn't a good thing. Help me. Give me the strength to overcome that anger. Help me to get rid of that anger. Help me to show your love and mercy even in tough times, even when they've hurt me really badly. And God does give that grace and that mercy. See, we have to realize this isn't something that comes from us. It comes from God and God alone. We also have to realize a very important concept. Just because God changed our hearts when we were baptized, when water was placed upon us in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, yes, we say we are a new creature, but can we lose this faith that God has so graciously given to us? Unfortunately, the answer is yes, we can. We can toss away this grace just like the subject of our parable did. He rejoiced probably thinking that, yes, this great debt was removed. He should have been singing and dancing in the streets. Instead, he shook someone down and threw him in jail. He did not have mercy on his fellow man. It resulted in him losing that initial aspect of grace. Eventually, he was thrown into jail until he could pay back. For the Christian, we have to realize we cannot pay back God for our sins. The jail, so to speak, is that of eternal death and damnation where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. We better take this forgiveness of sins very seriously. Not that I want to distract from Jesus' death upon the cross, but that He has given us such a wonderful gift. We better not let the anger and hatred we have interfere with this gift. Let me explain this now. You see, whenever we are harboring that anger and that unforgiveness, it takes energy. It takes a lot of energy to be angry with someone. And that energy sometimes consumes us. And if left unchecked, continues to grow and to grow and to grow. And sometimes, within some people, it actually consumes them. And when that anger consumes an individual, if it's a complete consumption, there is no room for God's love in that person's life. That person has lost the faith. I will admit, we usually don't like to talk about that. We'd rather talk about God's grace, His love, and His forgiveness, filling us, creating that joy within us, because what happens when, not that we are forgiven, what happens when I have that anger towards someone else and release them from it? Let it go. All of a sudden, I get more energy back. It's sort of a freeing sense within me, not just with them, but within me. It helps me to now have a closer relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The whole benefit of forgiveness is not necessarily to release the other person, but to release me who is doing the forgiving. Because I am under the burden of this anger and frustration and wrath. So as I forgive, I grow closer to my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who is the author and source of all love and forgiveness. Going back to that initial question now for the Christian, we now can see where Jesus' words now make a little bit more sense. We really need to forgive other people. It helps us to grow closer to our Savior. It helps assure us of the forgiveness of sins we have in Jesus Christ. It helps us even in relationship with our neighbor and promote the beautiful gospel message, which as Christians we are supposed to promote. What's wrong with the picture here? Our pride? Our selfishness? What's in it for me? My satisfaction? That's the stumbling blocks. And so we come to church not only to give our praise and mercy to the God who lifts that burden from us, but we also say, Lord, have mercy. Give me the strength because this is difficult. I can't do it myself. I need a Savior. And so we come before Him hearing His word of strength for the forgiveness of our sins and the encouragement of the faith. We come to receive Christ's own body and blood with the bread and wine. Again, a reminder of that forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of our faith. We need our faith strengthened because our sinful nature is great. We don't like forgiving people who have really hurt us. But as Jesus says at the end of our text, we need to forgive. We need to show love and mercy. It grows and grows our relationship with Christ even stronger and helps out our fellow human being. It helps us out. We are the winners because Christ died on the cross to make us winners. So this day we give great praise and thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for forgiving our sins, dying on the cross, and giving us the strength to share that love that He has so graciously lavished upon us to those around us. So as the title of our sermon says, keep on forgiving because God first loved and forgave us. In His name, Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.